Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Innergex Renewable Energy's conference call for the first quarter 2015 results. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique des résultats du premier trimestre de 2015 d'Innergex Énergie Renouvelable. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Thursday, May 14, 2015, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to Marie-Josée Prévic, Director of Communications and Sustainable Development. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here today with Mr. Michel Letellier, President and CEO of Innergex, and Mr. Jean Perron, Chief Financial Officer. Also joining us is Mr. Jean Trudel, Chief Investment Officer. Please note that the presentation will be in English. However, you're welcome to address your questions either in French or English. Vous êtes les bienvenus à poser vos questions en français. I would also like to point out that journalists are invited to call us afterwards if they wish to address any questions. In a minute, Mr. Perron will provide some details on our financial results for the first quarter ended March 31, 2015. Mr. Letellier will then provide an overview of our operating activities and outlook. We will then open the Q&A session with all three senior executives. The financial statements and the MD&A have been filed on SEDAR and are readily accessible via the Internet. You may also access the press release, financial statements, and the MD&A on the Innergex website in the Investors section. During the presentation, we will refer to financial measures such as adjusted EBITDA, free cash flow, and payout ratio that are not recognized measures according to IFRS, as they do not have a standardized meaning. Please be advised that this conference call will contain forward-looking information that reflects the corporation's expectations with respect to future results or developments. For explanations concerning the principal assumptions used by the corporation to derive this forward-looking information, and the principal risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated, I invite you to consult the first pages of the company's MD&A, as well as its annual information form. I now turn the conference to Mr. Perron.
Thank you, Marie-Josée. Good morning. The quarterly results for Q1 2015 are showing production that was at 121% of the long-term average of 543 gigawatt hours, due mainly to above-average water flows in British Columbia. This translated to 658 gigawatt hours of production, compared with production of 417 gigawatt hours in Q1 2014. You'll recall that last year production was at 84% of the long-term average of 498 gigawatt hours for the quarter. Revenues for the quarter were $57.7 million, compared with $37.6 million in 2014. The increase is due to the above-average water flows compared to below-average production in 2014 and to the acquisition of the SM1 facility in June 2014. Operating expenses, G&A, and prospective expenses for Q1 were up $2.5 million, or 20%, due to the variable costs associated to the greater level of production in BC and the addition of the SM1 facility. Adjusted EBITDA stood at $43 million compared to $25.3 million in Q1 2014. The increase is mainly due to the higher production. Finance costs were down $3.2 million or 17% due to the lower inflation compensation interest. During the quarter, a $68 million loss was realized on derivative financial instruments, resulting from the settlement of Boulder Creek and Upper Lillooet River bond forward contracts upon closing the $492 million financing of the projects. The realized loss is a result of a decrease in benchmark interest rate between the date the bond forward were entered into in late 2013 and the settlement date in March 2015. It will be compensated by a low-weighted average fixed interest rate of 4.36% for the 25 to 40 years term loans, compared to an interest rate of 5.66% that was set at the time of the hedge. This loss was funded with proceeds from the project financing. For the same reason, further loss could be recognized upon closing of the Big Cedar and NU project financing in the coming months. The corporation recognized an unrealized gain on derivative financial instruments of $12 million, due mainly to the reversal of the unrealized loss accrued to December 31, 2014, upon settlement of the bond forward contracts of Boulder Creek and Upper Litwick, which more than offset unrealized losses on derivatives resulting from the decrease in benchmark interest rate during the period. Excluding the realized loss and unrealized gain or loss on derivatives and the related income taxes, net earnings will have reached $6.2 million for the quarter, compared with a net loss of $10.5 million for Q1 2014. Overall, a very strong first quarter allowed us to start the year on a positive note, mainly due to the BC Hydro sector. As a result, and combined with a very good fourth quarter in 2014, our trailing 12-month free cash flow ending on March 31, 2015, reached $82.2 million compared to $49.2 million for the same period ending Q1 2014, and our payout ratio improved to 74% from under 12%. Since the beginning of Q2 2015, our production has been somewhat below the long-term average at most facilities, and particularly in BC. But it is still very early in the year and to guess what the hydrology, wind, and solar regime will be for the entire year, and we're confident in our ability to reach our long-term average production for the year. This concludes my review of the results. I'd like to answer any question you may have later on. I'm now turning back to you.
Good morning, everybody. Well, we had a very good AGM yesterday. We made public a couple of things. First, we updated our website. It's a brand new website. Included in that website, we made also public a small corporate video that I invite you to have a look. And also, we made public our first sustainable development report. We're very proud of the end product. So. Please have a look of those three new feature on our websites. Very interesting to watch. As you know, we have made public our priorities in the last call, and obviously the first priority was to advance and deliver it on our construction project and to put project financing in place. So we're very happy to update you on those advancements. If I'm starting with BC, we you know that we have four hydro facility under construction in BC. The first one, Prairie Creek, is the one that we'll put in service this year. It'll be on the Q4, maybe a little bit earlier, but so far we had said late Q4. Everything is online. Equipment has been delivered on site. The last piece of the pensark are being installed. So things are going very well in this this project. Project financing was done last year on that project, so there's no issue on financing. Upper Lillooet and Boulder, those are a cluster. Those are the biggest project in BC. We made the project financing, we completed the project financing last quarter. We were very happy with the terms. It was the biggest financing that project financing that Innergex did in history. We made $491 million project finance, non-recourse, 40 years fixed term, so very happy to have done that. Construction are resuming on Upper Lillooet and Boulder. If you remember, winter time, we're not accessing this site due to low snow in the region. We have started the construction a little bit earlier, so now we're full crew starting to work on Upper Lillooet as a little bit earlier than we had anticipated. So that's a good start. We're advancing on two tunnels in Upper Lillooet and Boulder. This is the critical path, so we're advancing on that front. We're putting a lot of energy there. But overall, things are going very well in Upper Lillooet and Boulder. A big achievement was for Big Silver Creek. We had completed the tunnel in Big Silver in our budget and a little bit earlier than we had anticipated. So that's a very good news for Big Silver. We also have signed the term sheet, and we're expecting the financing to be completed in June for the project financing. Same approach, fixed term for 40 years. with the same group that did Upper Alouette and Boulder, so very confident on the execution, and we're very happy so far with the terms that we're seeing. Another big achievement that we were working on is to start construction on our wind farm in the Gaspé Peninsula, Mesgig Ujuksun project, 150 megawatt wind farm. We have signed a contract with Borea. Borea is has been working for us in the past. They've done Vigier de Nonville and Carleton, so we know them very well. Very happy with the pricing we got. Obviously, it meets our budget if something may be a little bit lower than our budget. So very happy to start construction. Construction is scheduled to start next week. It's a great project in partnership with the First Nation. We have included the First Nation in the selection of the contractor. We're hopeful that we'll have also a good turnout with First Nation participation in the construction. That's part, obviously, on our philosophy of making sure that we have the introduction of local workload working on our project. So very happy to see how it's evolving there. Financing, we're expecting to have actually tomorrow the proposed term sheet that we were basically sending CIM about a month ago. Jean, was about a month ago, so 2 months ago. So we're expecting to have a lot of term sheet tomorrow, expecting to close the financing by September or so. So all in all, I think that we have made great advancement on these projects. Very happy, very comfortable with the budget and the timing as a portfolio basis. So we have now a great foundation to support the future growth initiative. Like I said earlier on in the last call, Innergex has come from a merger of an income fund and a growth company. I think we had a little bit of pressure on the payout ratio in the last 5 years, but this is starting to be behind us. We have these great projects that are going to generate very good cash flow. I think that we have one of the greatest portfolio in terms of quality and long-term EPA. So very comfortable now to think ahead. Just a reminder that these five projects that we just mentioned are going to contribute a lot with the cash flow. We maintain our guidance for the cash flow of 2017 of about $95 million of free cash flow. And when we say free cash flow, it means that it's after reimbursement of capital, after payment of preferred dividend, and after about $8 million of prospective expenses. So that it represents roughly $30 million of free cash flow or over and above the common share of dividend. So we have this margin, obviously, that we didn't have in the past, and that makes us much more comfortable to think about going and replenish the pipeline after 2017. I think people remember a little bit of our strategic conclusion of the strategic planning last fall. We decided to go into Europe for wind and solar. The aim there, or the philosophy there, is to start by acquiring existing facility that can support some development, some future development. So we have been quite active in Europe in the last quarter. We're happy to report or to say that we have made a good headway in that market. Happy to see the type of and the quality of asset that we have seen available in Europe lately. So still working on that. You know also that we wanted also to leverage our knowledge in small hydro development. We have identified Mexico and potentially Peru as good market to leverage our experience in the development, financing, engineering, and operating of small hydro facility. In those markets, there's less competition in that sector compared to wind and solar, so I think that we have a good chance to create value there. Again, quite happy to see the type of reception we had and the good meetings we had with the potential partners in those regions. I think also that we have, as you may remember, two teams working. One is based in Montreal and going to cover the Europe. It's not the same expertise. We're dealing with wind and solar, so the expertise lays in Montreal, so it's easier to cover the Europe. And the hydro development team is mainly concentrated now in Vancouver and therefore are going to cover the Mexico market and potentially the Peruvian market. So all in all, very happy to the headway that we have done on that front and very, very comfortable with the construction schedule and budgeting that we have on the five projects under construction. So on that, I think I'll go into let the question come.
Thank you, Michel. We now turn the conference over to the Q&A session.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Rupert Mayer with National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It may be too early for you to answer this question, but with your efforts in the new markets and your new market development efforts, have you learned anything that has evolved your view on the size of those markets, the return potential, or the time it might take to get established in those markets?
Well, I think that I can probably confirm that the expectation in terms of return and availability of market, let's say this. We're very optimistic and happy to see the type of and the quality of meeting we had with potential partners. And obviously, Europe is definitely a market that is mature. So we think that given, for some reason, that I think that there's maybe a little bit more potential of return compared to what we can see in North America, especially in the U.S. So I think that we can create a little bit more accretion in Europe compared to what we're seeing in wind in America. But obviously, it's a mature market, and if we're acquiring existing facility, the return will be likely to be reasonable. But the important thing is that it will be accretive to our existing profile. Obviously, for the development of hydro, those type of return are probably in the high teens. That's theoretically the target that we're looking. But obviously, it's a little bit early to conclude on the final type of return, but definitely more risky project being obviously exposed to construction tend to bring more return. And Peru and Mexico are obviously demanding a premium compared to Europe or North America. So all in all, we're very agnostic of the relation. As you know, I've been saying that all along, that for me, return and risk is always an equation that we have to keep in mind. But the idea for Innergex when we're going out is to have this equilibrium between our existing facility, having operating asset, construction exposure, development exposure, and obviously working always on the prospective pipeline. But as I want to reiterate that whenever we're going to do international, we'll do it the same philosophy that have driven Innergex in the past. And that philosophy brought us great success, brought us certainty, and then good equilibrium in terms of return and risk.
Okay, thanks. And you have an NCIB in place. I know you haven't been using it. But can you talk about the conditions you think you might use it? Do you have a view on the IRR on repurchases of your own stock at this current price and have a view on when that might become important if, say, project developments are further out than the availability of cash?
That's a good question. It's a little bit hard, and obviously I won't predict and I won't announce any pricing. But, yeah, if I'm happy with the price of the stock at $11, no. I think that, again, we had a long discussion, Rupert and with some other people. I don't think that the matrix of a multiple of EBITDA on enterprise value is a good valuation for Innergex. I think that the discounted cash flow, given the type of asset that we own, that we have more than 70% of our portfolio being hydroelectric, and this great increase of free cash flow by 2017, I don't think that that our stock is very well valued around $11. But the market is always right, so. I think I'll stop there.
All right, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
All right.
Your next question comes from Kelsey Roast with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I just wanted to follow up. Due to the strong hydrology in BC in Q1, can you give us any type of indication on what the hydrology is looking like in Q2, assuming that the snowpack is probably less than other years?
Yeah, well, a good proxy is to keep in mind, if you go to the Whistler Blackcomb website, you have some webcam that overlook the Alpine, and what happened in last winter, obviously there's definitely less snowpack, but it had to be in the lower altitude, so something our main water intake, especially in the area of Rutherford, Ashdew, and so forth, are around 600 meters, and that's roughly that's the village elevation. So if you go up to mid station, let's say at 1,000 meters, there were definitely less snow in at the end of the winter in those range, but there's plenty of snow on the top on the glacier on the really alpine area. So what happened in April and beginning of May is that usually the lower elevation snow is melting in those months and bringing a lot more snow. So since there were little snow in those altitudes, April was a little bit weak in BC, but it's now picking up quite strongly, because now it's warming up and the alpine snow is melting. Now, it's always difficult to predict the full summer, but for now, what we had experienced is that we had a little bit of a delay from the real meltdown of the snow in higher elevation for, let's say, a month, but the winter production was well above what we had anticipated. So far, so good in terms of the year. A little bit of the same thing in Quebec. The winter was really cold and the spring was really late. So we had a little bit lower production at the end of March and beginning of April. But now we have a lot of water in the Quebec rivers. And the wind has been very good all year round. So far, we are, like Jean Perron, we're maintaining our long-term forecast. It's very seldom that before the end of the year we can confirm or infirm the long-term average. I think this year seems to be on a good start, but we never know with Mother Nature.
Thank you. So my second question is, subsequent to the quarter, you announced the 50-50 partnership with First Nations in BC to build the 210-megawatt wind facility, the Nuquay Hills. At what stage of the development process are you at?
Well, obviously, I think this is a great project. We have a great partner. The First Nation are very supportive of this project. The landscape there is, easy to build. It's not complicated at all. It's easy access. It's close to the future LNG plant and future pipeline. So it's strategic places where we think we can add value and add a renewable project in those areas. But obviously, we need an EPA. I'm very confident with the ability of this project to be competitive in future RFPs. In terms of development, I think that we've done quite a bit of environmental study. The social license is very strong, having the First Nation being a partner in this project. The only thing we're missing is an EPA. So. Working hard on that project to make sure that it could be a good alternative for any future awards of EPA in BC.
Great. So just to confirm, you had mentioned for future RFPs. So is this project, do you need to wait for a clean power call or an RFP, or are you going to be directly negotiating with the government?
Well, it's all of the above. Obviously, we're trying to be able to negotiate with government, but it's never a short thing. Obviously, I think that this project is well positioned, like I was saying, to mitigate some of the contribution to CO2 from future LNG project or future pipeline installation in that area, but. There's nothing we can force the government on, but if LNG projects are going forward, there's a good, this is a good spot in the province to be.
Great, thank you. And I just guess along the same lines, the partnership that you announced last year, I believe, the Inchinik partnership for the six hydro developments, how are your negotiations going for getting an EPA with the government on that?
Well, it's complicated with government. Obviously, it's the price is an issue, so we're still working with the INSHOC very hard on trying to reduce prices, finding ways to mitigate on total construction, including transmission line, substation, and what have you. So First Nation are very supportive on those issues. We'll see also with the federal if we can get some help on that side too. So, working in trying to reduce the total cost of the electricity to the government and trying to find ways to go forward with those projects.
Perfect, thank you. And then my last question is, you mentioned that construction is expected next week for the MU1 facility. Do you have what the timing is looking like in 2016? Should we expect it in late Q4 or earlier than that?
Well, the wind project in Quebec have a COD delivery date for December 1st. That's how Hydro-Quebec are signing contract, although we have provision to deliver electricity before that. We don't expect to have any issue meeting the 1st of the December date. We might be a little bit earlier as well. We could sell a little bit of electricity, but the hard date on the Hydro-Quebec EPA is 1st of December.
Great. Thank you. And that's all my questions.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press the star followed by the 1. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. Your next question comes from Ben Pham with BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody. I wanted to go back to BC and some of the commentary there, and I'm wondering with BC Hydro moving forward with Site C or trying to move that forward, why do you think there's a need for your projects in BC at all? Is it a call on the BC Hydro being short power in the later part of the decade? Maybe just some commentary around that.
Yeah, well, it's hard to understand BC Hydro sometimes, but there's one thing that was positive in the last quarter is that, if you remember, they had very strong and aggressive target in order to have the demand side management being a source of, negative growth on the consumption. But they officially announced that they wouldn't be able to meet the aggressive target that they had put. So that somehow would translate to something around 400 to 500 megawatt of shortfall on that initiative by 2020. So that's a little positive view on in terms of the market. Other than that, it will always depend. Mr. Bennett, the Minister of Energy, made a couple of comments in a public meeting saying that he might be a little bit more bullish on the demand. He seems to be a little bit more bullish on LNG being forward, although Petronas had proposed, a settlement agreement or participation agreement with First Nation that seems to have been rejected somehow. I'm pretty sure that they have other alternative or maybe ways to mitigate that, but the government seems to be positive about future LNGs, not necessarily six, but two or three LNG projects seems to be advancing fairly well. Some mines are advancing as well. So obviously, if demand is growing, that's going to help our industry to be able to participate in future call. That being said, Site C is under challenge in court by a few groups. So would that lead to delays or even cancellation? It's very hard to predict. That's about it.
Okay, sounds good. And the only other question I had is just with the Quebec side and the recontracting file. Where are we with that right now? Are we in arbitration with the recontracting?
What we have done is there's three developers that are under arbitration for the time being. We will eventually know the outcome. For us, we have Saint-Paulin that we have put our notice of arbitration, and Hydro-Québec has proposed to keep that arbitration on stand until the the existing arbitration process is finalized. And they are maintaining the price of electricity and all the condition as it stands actually with the actual EPA. So we're waiting. We should know a little bit more this summer or early fall.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for taking my questions.
My pleasure.
Ms. Krivic, there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate this opportunity to provide an update about our company, and please don't hesitate to contact us if ever you have any other questions.
Merci à tous. Nous apprécions cette occasion de faire une mise à jour de nos activités. Et n'hésitez pas à communiquer avec nous si vous avez d'autres questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference call. Please note that a replay of the conference call will be available on the Innergex website. The press release, financial statements, and the management's discussion and analysis are also available on the Innergex website at www.innergex.com in the Investors section. Thank you, and you may now disconnect your lines.